Good afternoon. It is a joy to see you here, I can tell you. It is hard to believe that the last time I preached was 2 weeks ago, and I used this picture from our sunroom that is where I write my sermons to remind us, after the tragedy at Molson Coors, that because our Savior has risen, we can be confident that He is victorious, and we are too. As I thought about that, I was amazed it was just 2 weeks ago. With everything that's happened over the last week, doesn't it seem like years ago almost? And so I thought it was appropriate to bring back the picture. As we gather together to worship, that we are reminded that we are undefeated. Because our God has come. He died on a horrible cross for our guilt and sin. And then He rose victorious. And so we too are undefeated in Christ. Tonight we're going to be looking at the fact that by nature we have this spiritual blindness that makes it so hard to see, especially in difficult times like this. But in Christ, we are undefeated by spiritual blindness. Let's begin our worship with the singing of hymn 353. I forgot to mention, I want to welcome those of you who are watching online. We are recording this service so that you can share with anybody that you know that is going to be watching online, that our traditional service in its entirety will be available tomorrow morning to watch online as well. So welcome all of those of you who are watching online. Please let us join together in worship, singing hymn 353. If you are able, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. I confess my rebellion. I am troubled by my sin. Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Your Savior has come quickly to help you. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has rescued you. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. God of grace and mercy, we bow before you in humble sorrow for our sins. We are unworthy to receive the least of your blessings. In this life, we carry around a body of death. The sinful nature that lives in us makes us spiritually blind, weak, and prone to every form of vice and addiction. Yet, Father, you sent Jesus, who endured the pain of flogging, beating, and the cross, to rescue us from this body of death forever. May your great love for us strengthen us and work faithful love in us. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8 on page 1176. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is written, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Because of the length of the gospel, I would ask you to remain seated. The gospel is recorded in John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. This chapter also serves as the basis of the message for today. As he, that is Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word, Siloam, means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Then we continue at verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." And then continuing at verse 34. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." He said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim to see, your guilt remains." This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the next hymn, hymn 343.
sinned? Great question, isn't it? Who caused the COVID-19 pandemic? Was it the people in China who worked too closely with animals? Was it the government officials who didn't react fast enough to the crisis? Or is it the medical professionals who are overreacting? Who sinned? It's a tough question that Jesus asked, or that the disciples asked Jesus about the man who was born blind. And at the moment, we too are at a time of blindness. What will the future hold? Will the pandemic get worse? Or will this effort contain it? How long will our lockdowns last? What's the wisest course of action now as a nation, as a church, and as individuals? You know that I'm somebody who's always looking to the future. And for me, it is most disturbing. I am absolutely blind to what the future holds. People are asking, what will happen at Easter? What should we do to plan for Easter? And I'm going, that's 4 weeks away. That's way too far in advance to plan. I'll be honest, I've never been this blind before. It's frightening. In the midst of this crisis that we are living in, what do you see? If we follow in the footsteps of the disciples, what do we see? We see the Lord of justice. Who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Bad things happen. Somebody must be to blame. This must be punishment. And we're suffering because of somebody else's sin. The church has reacted that way in the past. Sorry about that. You got to come up and talk to me. Actually, I am on.
Oh, there I am. All right, sorry about that. Oh, bummer. We're trying to record this. I'll just start all over again, though. There was a pandemic that struck 40 years ago. Now, this pandemic that eventually swept through the world at the time was very localized. Nobody really knew what it was. How did the church respond? The church responded by seeing the Lord of justice. HIV and AIDS, that was God's judgment on the homosexual behavior. And what happened? What can we learn from those lessons in 1981? The church heaped judgment on gay men. people who needed the love of God the most ever in their lives were pushed away from the church. And a new community was formed. Prior to 1981, gays and lesbians really had nothing in common. They were not a united community. But when society rejected the gay men who were suffering that epidemic, they formed their own community, their own support group. Who was blind back in 1981? Sadly, the church of that day, the church of which I was a leader, I was a pastor, the church was blind to an opportunity that God had given us to show mercy. All we saw was the God of justice. Brothers and sisters, are we in that setting today? A new pandemic, this time sweeping across all people groups. And the natural reaction for us too is to ask, who sinned? I'm experiencing that as a leader of just this little part of God's kingdom. I am sure our national leaders feel it a million stronger. I am the one who is causing troubles. The leadership team here at St. Paul's, because we are having services, and that's wrong. You don't care about people. Or you are wrong because you're canceling things. You don't care about people. Who sinned? Our leaders, they've sinned. Overreaction, underreaction, we don't care. Somebody's at fault. Who sinned? It is an excellent question to ask. But it is a question to ask as we look in the mirror. Who sinned? In the last half of Isaiah, the Lord speaks through the prophet to a people who have experienced their own crisis. The Babylonians have come and have taken God's people off into exile, destroyed Jerusalem. Who sinned? God's people at that time said, who sinned? God did. God said he would keep us safe. God said he would watch over us. God failed. What was God's answer? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 42. The Lord says, hear you deaf. Look you blind and see. Who is blind but my servant and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. Why does God send crises like the Babylonians on Jerusalem and pandemics on the world? Yes, he is a God of justice. But rather than ask, who is God calling to repentance out there? Let's look in the mirror and ask, of what is God calling me to repent of? Brothers and sisters, who is blind but my servant, the Lord says. We are very often blind to our own sins. Could it be that God is using this pandemic as a time for us to stop pointing fingers, a time for us to slow down just a little bit and stop and start searching our own hearts? Here are the questions that come to my mind. Where have I taken all of God's gifts for granted? Including the gifts of life and health, financial means and freedom of movement, my career, my abilities. Where have I become so busy enjoying these gifts that I failed to have my God as the number one priority in my life? Evident in the way I use my time, and the frequency and fervency of my worship, and the way that I give, and the way that I talk with family and friends. And as somebody who dreams about the future all the time, this is the one that strikes my heart. How has this pandemic showed me that my faith was in my own wisdom to foresee any obstacles and overcome them, rather than trusting in the Lord above all things? Who sinned? The answer is always the same. I have sinned. I am blind. Yes, what do we see in the man born blind? We do see the Lord of justice but really the Lord of mercy. What do you see? Jesus, when he was asked, who sinned, this man or his brother or his parents? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents. But this happened so that the work of God might be revealed in him. Why did the tragedy of congenital blindness strike this man? It wasn't because his parents committed some horrible sin. It was so that you and I might see the Lord of mercy. Go, Jesus said. Wash those muddy eyes, those blind eyes in the pool of Siloam. I so much appreciate the chance about 10 years ago of going to Israel and seeing a relatively new archaeological discovery within the last year or two before I arrived. It was the Pool of Siloam. They found it. This isn't a Never Never Land story. This is real. So this man would have come down to these stones, walked down those steps into the water, and washed his eyes. And came home seeing. Wash? That's all you ask me to do, Lord? It doesn't seem to make any sense. But he is the Lord of mercy. And he washed. This man washed, and he came home seeing. How much that is like what you and I can experience. Our Savior commands us to wash in the waters of baptism. What can baptism do? What can a little bit of water sprinkled on the head, even if you're immersed, what can that do? miracle that happened to that man happens to us in our baptisms. We wash and we come home seeing. Every day we can go back to our baptisms and we can wash and we can come home seeing how the Lord of mercy looks at us. These are the words that Ananias said to Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. Let's read these short verse, this short verse together. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Call on the name of the Lord of mercy, the one who washes all of our sins away. Why does God come as the God of justice? To leave us trembling in fear? No. But to lead us to appreciate this miracle that happens in us. That the Savior connects the promise of forgiveness that he won on that cross for us. He connects us with water and he says, wash. Go back every day in your heart and in your mind to that baptism and see your sins washed away. He is the Lord of justice so that we can appreciate that he is the Lord of mercy. You and I are washed. We have nothing to be afraid of because the Lord of mercy invites us to see him. Wash. This is the first blessing that you and I can give to the people around us. I am sure that there are people filled with discouragement and despair in your circle of acquaintances, members of your family, your co-workers, your friends. Invite them to come and do the preposterous wash. Yes. Come back with us. Come back with me every day to your baptism. To be reassured that you have a God who has washed all your sins away. Perhaps now more than ever, people are more interested and willing to hear this preposterous invitation. Wash? Because people are asking those questions. What is happening? People are filled with fear. Is there a God? Is he angry with me? But here at the baptismal font, we're all reminded, guilt is washed away. Our God is not angry with us. In Christ, he loves us as his dear children. And he can no more forsake us, even in a pandemic, than a loving father or mother forsaking their dear children. Wash. Why not invite your neighbors to watch online? To hear the news that their sins are washed away. Wash. But then, let us also not only be concerned about washing the spiritual needs of the people around us. Perhaps their ears will be closed because they have great physical needs. 40 years ago, God's church missed an opportunity. They saw themselves primarily as children of the Lord of justice, but you and I are primarily children of the Lord of mercy. You and I have experienced this incredible mercy of our God. Let us put that mercy into action. The words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 comes to mind. He wrote, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh or sinful nature, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The Apostle Paul knows that the sinful nature in us can easily get weary. It can tempt us to back away from the opportunities that God is giving us in the midst of this upheaval in our society. But could it be that the Lord of mercy is giving us more chances than ever to show mercy, just as we have experienced mercy? Some practical ideas that I've seen. You know, who are those in need? Those who get sick or quarantined. Can we be the neighbors, the friends who leave food on the front door, who provide supplies that they need? Those who have lost their jobs, it's happening already. Could we be more generous to our friends in need? Do you have your own ROCKS fund, that random acts of worship kindness fund, that you can use to help the people who are terrified of the future because suddenly their income is gone? Those who are in need of help caring for children. If you are at that place in life where you can say, I can help out, can you let it be known to your neighbors, to your friends on Facebook? How about those who are lonely? Will you be the one who remembers the person who can't get out because their system is compromised and they just need somebody to talk to? Will you be the person who reaches out and calls them, reminding them that they're not alone? My wife came back from the grocery store today, and she said people just are walking around the grocery store, and they've just got these eyes that say they're lost, overwhelmed. I get it. Could we as Christians see this as a time of opportunity where we wash people who are overwhelmed, that we wash them with the confidence that we have, that we have a God of mercy who has forgiven us, a God of glory who is in control? You and I have a confidence that so many people don't have. A confidence that the God who had the power to make a man who was congenitally blind able to see. A God who was able to raise himself from the dead and come out of that grave. You and I have this incredible confidence that he says that everything will work out for good for those who love him, even pandemics. Could we, as God's church, who understand that the Lord of justice sees our sins and has yet been merciful to us, can we be the church that puts into action the Lord of mercy that we see and experience? Can we wash the people around us with the love of Christ? It is when the Spirit works in each of us personally and in us as God's church that we will see the Lord of glory. Later in this chapter, John records Jesus asking the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. May this be a time when the Lord of glory reveals himself in miraculous ways through us, that God's mercy is seen through us, so that more people can know the Lord of glory for eternity. I have very often said that it was in time of the greatest crises that the early church grew. When plague struck the Italy of the ancient world, the Christians didn't run away. They washed the sick and suffering. And the world around them saw the Lord of mercy. And by and large, the world around them said, I believe, because through them they saw the Lord of glory at work. Could that be God's church today? In my mind, the only question is the question that the Pharisees asked right at the end of the gospel lesson. Are we blind too? Those good church people, they were blind to the Lord of justice. They didn't see their own sin. And so they were blind to the Lord of mercy. They didn't think they needed it. And even though the Lord of glory did this great miracle among them, they were blind to the Lord of glory. That's really the only question. Are we blind too? May the Holy Spirit work in us like he did in the Apostle Paul. You see, we are not the first Christians who are isolated in some way. The Apostle Paul was isolated in prison. But the Holy Spirit had opened his eyes to see his sin, that he was the worst of sinners, to see God's mercy, that he was washed, that his sins were washed away, and to see the Lord of glory, that Jesus had come victorious from the grave, and not even death could separate him from the Savior's love. And so he exuded this incredible confidence, even in the face of crises that terrified others. May the Spirit work this miracle in us. Let's read together Paul's words and pray, Lord Jesus, send the Holy Spirit upon us, that these words are ours. Remove our spiritual blindness, Lord, and let us see. Let's join together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand and let's join together and confess the faith that the Christian church has confessed for two millennia using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. During this time, we will be gathering our offering in a different way. We were told that passing the offering plate is a great way to pass virus from one person to the next. So out of respect for the wisdom of others, rather than gather the offering at this time, the ushers will be standing at the door, and you can simply place your offering and your connection card into the offering plate as you leave the worship service today. So let's begin with prayer, or let's continue with prayer. First of all, I'd like to pray for those who have lost loved ones. The Lord in his wisdom called Jocelyn Hansen home to himself in heaven. That's the daughter of our member Richard Schultz. Also, he called Kay Ross home to himself, and then Laverne Martin. So let us pray for those families in their time of sorrow. Lord Jesus, our risen and ascended Savior, you sit at the right hand of God and rule all things. And so we are thankful that you work so powerfully in the lives of these dear Christian sisters, Jocelyn, Kay, and Laverne, that you brought them to faith in you, that you preserved them to the day that you knew it was best to call them home to yourself in heaven. Now we know that the words of the Apostle Paul are true for them. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Comfort all who mourn and give them a clear vision of these dear sisters celebrating in the glory that is yours and now is theirs. Amen. For the prayer of the church, I would like to use the prayer that our church body, our synod, wrote. It's on group work, so if you look on the inside back cover of the worship folder, group work, there is a prayer under number one. I would ask you to please stand and join in this prayer. Lord God, our Redeemer and Protector, we come to you seeking the help that only you can give. We ask that you spare people in our country and around the world from any harm to body and soul. Grant healing and comfort to those who may be afflicted with this or any other disease. Be with those who care for the sick and keep them from danger. Give wisdom and steadfastness to our nation's leaders and a spirit of courage and cooperation to our communities. Calm our fears of the unknown. Use your word to work in us a strong faith and trust in your promise to use all things to work for the good of those who love you. We can be confident in you and your promises in this uncertain and difficult time because of the love and faithfulness you demonstrated in sending your Son to the cross for us and for all people. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, our refuge and strength. Amen. And we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your great love for the world moved you to take on our human flesh and blood. In more ways than one, you allowed yourself to be broken so that we could be made whole. We stand in awe of the sacrifice you made for us. As we go out into the world, make us lights that shine for you. We pray, Jesus, in your name. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. As I mentioned in the prayer, the Lord called to himself three dear sisters in Christ. Two of them are members here. Kay Ross, her funeral arrangements are set for Friday and Saturday. Visitation will be on Friday from 1:30 to 3 o'clock with the funeral at 3 o'clock. And then meal is afterwards. And then the committal will be on Saturday morning. And then Laverne Martin was called home a week ago today, and her arrangements are tentatively set for Saturday, April 4th. And then, as was on the screen, we sent out emails out of response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are basically closing down all of our ministries except worship. We felt that worship is an essential part of what we do. If you are on our Facebook, perhaps you saw a little paragraph about Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived through the plague, and he gave good advice. You know, you don't needlessly go into places of danger, but at the same time, we want to be God's agents of mercy to those who are in need. An article that I also read said, perhaps he went too far. I'd never known this before, that his daughter passed away. It was from the plague. I didn't know that. Wow. God's people have stepped up in incredible ways in the past. And it's my prayer that we as God's people have our eyes open to see, not just the Savior, but to see the people in need around us. And that the world around us just goes, wow, those Christians, that Christian church, they won't know how to love. May the Spirit give us that kind of wisdom. I won't be shaking your hand, but I will greet you and wave at you, even do an elbow bump if you'd like, on the way out. God's blessings.